Today's reading is from Ezekiel chapter 17, verses 22 to 24. This is found on page 844 of the Pew Bibles. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I, myself, will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will rest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the field will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34, and that's page 1006 in your Pew Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." The parable of the mustard seed. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
To the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'd like to sit, please. Yesterday, I had a rather disturbing day. Disturbing in the sense of challenging. We had a conference within our diocese, held up in Beckenham, around the theme of modern slavery and exploitation. And the thing that disturbed me most was being reminded that there are things going on all around us, just round the corner very often, which at one level are in clear view, but at another level are hidden from us, because often we don't have the eyes to see. People here in our own country, in our own towns, living as effectively domestic slaves. Others working under the organization of unscrupulous gangmasters on the land, in fishing, in the processing industries, as trafficked and exploited labourers, and even your local car wash. If you wondered how five people can gather round and hand wash your car and you only pay £5 or £6 for the privilege, believe it or not, they're not earning the minimum wage, and they're almost certainly trafficked workers. One of the ladies who spoke to us at this conference was somebody who herself had been trafficked into this country to do the drudgery in a home, looking after the children, doing the cooking, doing the cleaning, for which she wasn't paid. And she was trafficked into this by a wealthy Christian family. More of her later on. A great deal that's disturbing. And then look at the world around in other ways too, and we see and we hear every day on the news wars, stories of wars and oppression, injustice. We're aware of dishonesty and corruption in public life, of economic mayhem of different kinds in different places. Much that is disturbing, frightening even, as we look at the world around us. So the cry might go up, why doesn't God do something about it? Is God asleep? Where's that kingdom of which we heard in our gospel reading that's meant to be coming, that day when goodness will triumph and evil will be put to flight? Maybe people were asking those kinds of questions when Jesus spoke. Certainly some were at the time when Mark's gospel was taking shape. And of course, some of those are still our questions today as we look at the world around us, that we look at human suffering, at human inhumanity, and we ask why God doesn't do something about it. I think in our parable, in the gospel reading, what Jesus is saying is that there are those situations where you may not at first sight be able to see anything happening, but that doesn't mean that it isn't happening. Seeds grow quietly, unseen, buried away in the ground. Yes, you can try and help the seeds to grow. You can make sure the ground is properly prepared, the weeds are kept down, the watering is done, and so forth. But in the end, its growth doesn't come from you. You have to wait. But it will grow. It will rise up, just as surely as you do each morning when you get out of bed. And it's God who does the growing, as Ezekiel tells us too in the passage we heard from his prophecy. God is the one who's the great propagator, who breaks off that tender twig, that little sprig from a tree and plants it in the ground so that it grows into another great and lofty cedar tree, as we heard from that passage. It's an image, a picture of God who gives growth, who makes things flourish, and he does it even in unpromising situations. Other prophecies that we could turn to in Isaiah and elsewhere speak of plants springing up in the desert, of growth and life coming where it looks impossible, of arid and dusty places being transformed as growth comes. The setting of that passage from Ezekiel puts it around the time when Jerusalem is under threat, when God's city is under threat, when it has been captured by Babylonians who have taken men into exile and have put Zedekiah on the throne as a kind of puppet king. Ezekiel chastises King Zedekiah for his disobedience to God and speaks of him as a vine that will wither. And indeed, before long, the Babylonians lose patience and Zedekiah is killed and the city and temple are destroyed. Dreadful, dreadful times. But then comes this passage, which seems to hold out some hope. Hope of a new planting, of a new tree, of a new flourishing, of a new growth, even if it lies on the other side of disaster. There is hope. So what's the message that we have then? Well, I think a message about assurance that ultimately God is God and his purposes will be fulfilled. His kingdom will come. Good will prevail and righteousness and justice will flourish. But often we won't see it. Or if we do see it, it's only a tiny shoot which begins to come up. And so the parables tell us not to despair, not to forget that things go on unseen sometimes, not to despise what might look like small beginnings, small shoots. After all, this wonderful worldwide church of which we are a part, which unites us with our friends in Condor and across the whole world, began with 11 rather unlikely and dispirited disciples and grew and grew. And grew. And the kingdom of God is indeed growing in quiet little ways, often unseen, often at very small scale. Good things go on. People care for their neighbours. People work for the good of their communities. They get involved in causes that seek to improve the world, such as that which was the theme of that conference I was at yesterday. And that lady who gave her testimony at that conference to her own experience, that which enabled her to, as it were, own up to what was going on in her life and the fact that she was being so dreadfully exploited even by a supposedly Christian family, what gave her that opportunity was being part of the church, because they brought her to church each Sunday. And eventually she plucked up the courage to say something to somebody. And so in time she has been released from that exploitation, that slavery, that captivity which she was undergoing. And a little shoot of the kingdom of God has pushed its leaves through the earth and begun to grow as good things have come for that person out of what was something really awful for her. And sometimes, praise God, it does happen in bigger, more visible ways. When, for example, peace comes to a long divided place, when even governments make changes that benefit those who are the most struggling. And in other ways, we see those signs of God's kingdom coming, the shoots beginning to emerge as things take root. And of course, it happens in the lives of individuals as well. Things grow, often quietly like that seed growing in the ground. Things to do with ourselves, our own being changed, being transformed, habits being reformed in us, us being moved to take on new commitments, to work for good things, to change things. And God's kingdom grows. The shoots begin to push up, break through the earth, and flourish. Sense of God becoming real, a growing awareness of the things of God's Spirit, a desire to be close to God and to walk with Jesus, that desire which has led you folks here tonight to want to publicly express your desire to walk with God. Like the mustard seed in Jesus' story, it may start small, but then it grows. And as I meet people like you eight here tonight and hear the stories about what has been going on, so it's very clear that God is at work in people's lives. God has been, is, and will be at work in your lives. The seeds are coming to fruitfulness. Sometimes, for some people, that seed has grown, has been sown long, long ago, and gradually it comes to fruition. It starts to come alive. Faith becomes real. Life begins to change. Sometimes it's life events that bring that about. A marriage, the birth of a child, or more difficult times, illness, bereavement, loss of job, end of relationship. And these things prompt us and we begin to think and we begin to discover the reality of God. And for some, it's very, very gentle. And we grow in faith as we grow as human beings. And it's been there all the time in some form or another and comes to points of fruition. And you have come to a particular point, each of you in your own walk with God, your own journey of faith, where you want to do something to affirm it, to celebrate it, to mark it. And before all these people tonight to say, yeah, I'm in business with God. I want to be part of the growth of God's kingdom. I want to see the things of God's kingdom growing in my own life. And you're making that public witness tonight to what God through his Spirit is doing within you. The growth, if you like, of the seed of faith, the seed of Jesus that has been growing in you and will go on growing in you. And as I said a few minutes ago, for others of you here tonight, perhaps the opportunity to reaffirm that baptismal faith. Maybe for some it's gone a bit dry, a bit dusty. It's needing some fresh watering so that it can begin to grow again. And that's maybe the opportunity in your own heart between you and God to reaffirm that faith, to renew that relationship, to say to yourself and to God, this is something that's important to me. This is something real for me. Something in which I wish to go on and continue. In Ezekiel, a little sprig is taken, is planted and grows. In the gospel parable, that seed is planted and it grows, at first unseen, and then breaking out and beginning to bear fruit. May it indeed be that God's kingdom continues to grow in us and through us, and particularly through those of you who have been confirmed tonight. And that even in the face of things in our world which cause us distress and circumstances which we find difficult, and situations where we really can't see what the answer or the outcome is, that we hold on to this affirmation that God's kingdom will come. And we pray that we ourselves may be part of the means through which that happens. That as God's kingdom is real in your lives, and the things of God's kingdom, the things of justice and goodness and truth and righteousness and peace and joy and love and all those good things which are the gifts and the fruit of God's Spirit, as those things are real for you, so that, as it were, flows out through you and the world is changed. In a few weeks' time, some of you will be coming to Rochester Cathedral for 2 ordination services. It's a bit greedy, isn't it, having 2 for this parish? But there we are. So we're looking forward to an ordination to the diaconate, an ordination to the priesthood. There's a sense in which tonight you 8 are being commissioned in the same sort of way as they will be commissioned. They will be commissioned to their particular ministries in the church as deacons, as priests, along with others. You are being commissioned to be people who live the life of God's kingdom in the world day by day. I'm going to say a little bit more about that at the end of the service, that commissioning sense. Kingdom people in whom the seed grows.